Good morning. We have several things I need to kind of catch you up on this morning. One is Matthew and Cassidy are here. And for some of you that are new, it's Kyle's brother and sister-in-law. Matthew just got out of the Army and starting a whole new life. And so we're glad that you guys are here this morning. So make sure you greet them and make them feel welcome. We also have, it's busy week for George Fox students, and this is finals week, and I just want to say thank you to the George Fox students who have been coming. You guys have been very faithful, being part of the church family here. I don't see Aaron this morning and Shay, but Ethan and Hannah and Kayla and Kimberly and Garrett and Julia and Michael have all been a part of the church family here, and it's just great. There's Aaron. You're usually back there. yeah. It's just great to have our college students here and being a part of the family, and I've had a lot of fun. Nancy and I, we having them over to our house, and so it's been great. So hopefully you guys have a great finals week, and things will go well for all of you. And Michael's graduating this week, and so, right? When I was academic dean, it was always those scary times where students are going, are you going to graduate? And hopefully they do. And I don't know, I think most of you know this, that also on Friday, Kyle will be earning his master's degree. And I know he's got a paper that still needs, his final thesis has to get the final okay, but the commencement ceremonies are on this Friday, and that's a huge deal. And so congratulations, Kyle. It's kind of hard to be working and married and going to school at the same time, get a master's degree, and that's just huge. So good job. All right, I think that's enough for business. So the grocery store owner from England decided it was time to just ban people from coming into his grocery store. They were just rude. And so didn't have good manners, and so he was going to start banning people from coming into his grocery store. First, it was those who were smoking. He banned those from coming into his grocery store. Then it was those who had bad language. He banned them from coming into his grocery store. If you had a stroller with a baby, can't come into his grocery store. Even banned the moms in their strollers. If you brought in a pet, not going to be welcome in his grocery store. Finally got to the point where he just banned everybody from coming into his grocery store. They just didn't have the right manners, and so you're just not going to come into my grocery store. And when asked about it, he said, yeah, I think I lost the business. I'm pretty sure I did. But a man's got to live by his scruples, and so no one's going to come into his grocery store. If you did want to buy something in his grocery store, you'd walk up to the window and point to what you wanted, and then ring the bell and point to what you wanted, and he would meet you at a little box window and sell you something through that window. Now, if I was to think about this grocery store owner and his business, I would think he's lost sight of his mission. He's lost sight of his main purpose. I would assume he'd want to be selling stuff, but instead he chose to ban people from coming into his store. Sometimes we, as church folks, we also can kind of lose sight of our main mission, the main thing as far as we're concerned, or as far as the Lord is concerned. We can get off track. Sometimes we can be busy about doing all kinds of things that seem pretty good, but are not the main thing, not the business that we're supposed to be about, not our mission, that we can get off track sometimes. And I think it's really, really healthy that at times we just stop and say, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we focused on what is our mission? Is our attention being turned to the main thing that we're supposed to be doing as God's people? Or are we off track? There's value in that assessment. Jesus made it really clear what his mission was. He knew why he was here. He says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he says, "I have come to seek and to save the lost." That was his mission. And if you remember our previous sermon series, you know, he set his face to Jerusalem, and that's where he was going. He knew his mission. And he's given us our mission as well. If we're going to be his followers, he is giving us, he has given us our mission as well, as we've said over and over again from Matthew chapter 28. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey or observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus knew his mission, he knew his purpose, and he's given us our purpose. He's given us our main thing, if you will, the primary focus of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so all those disciples, all those followers of Jesus, they saw that he was raised from the dead, and on the day that he ascended back to the Father, they said, "Man, that's cool." And they slapped each other on the back, and they went back home, and they went back to their families, and went back to their jobs, and went back to normal lives, right? No. Shirley was at least paying attention. No. They got it. They understood their mission. They understood that commission that Jesus has given his followers. You know, when that, in Acts, when those 3,000 people were baptized, is it because they had a great marketing plan and put on the local website, this special message about Jesus? Those 3,000 people were not baptized accidentally. They were baptized because people had gone out and touched their lives. It wasn't just a big crusade that everybody, come and listen to some great preaching. They had to have been touched by people's lives. People in investing in them, discipling them, understanding what it meant. What it meant to be a follower of Jesus, that you're going to go out and disciple somebody. You're going to touch them and teach them and mature them into Christ. And I believe you and I are here today because they understood their mission. They understood their calling. And they changed history because they understood who they're supposed to be in this world. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful they understood that and understood and focused on that main thing. Their influence has touched us. And our sermon today is focusing on Acts chapter 17. And it's fun when Norma's looking at my text and she's going, "I really couldn't understand where you're going with this sermon and tying it into the sermon series." And I'm going, "Well, you can ignore that part because you'll just kind of figure out where I'm going with this." But I picked chapter 17 of Acts here as looking at Paul and him understanding this main thing, the main focus, the mission, what Jesus has given us. And hopefully after I'm done, you'll see where I'm going with this is Paul's given us a good example of our focus and our mission. And the reason why I did this is because of verse 6. They turned the world upside down. And when I saw that passage, I go, that's intriguing. That says something that I need to kind of to look at this morning. So the reason why I picked this passage is I want to kind of figure out why are they looking at Paul and Silas and the other followers of Jesus and saying they turned the world upside down? And I chose the English Standard Version because it says it better than the NIV. So that's why it was that way. So if you're looking at your Bible or maybe another, the Pew Bible, it may not say turn the world upside down in verse 6. Your bulletin does. So if you want to look at it, there it is. So I want to look at that and try to understand why they said that. And then look at some three considerations I have for us this morning. So here in Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas are going to Thessalonica. And as was his custom, he took advantage of when the Jews gathered together. They gathered together to study the scriptures, which were the Old Testament scriptures. They gathered together to worship and to pray in the synagogue. That was their habit. They did this on a regular basis. And so Paul took advantage of that gathering and joined them and started teaching them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the gospel, from the scriptures, from the Old Testament scriptures. Now, the wording there is he basically argued with them. He took them to task to help teach them what the scriptures said about Jesus. But notice his focus, okay? His primary agenda was to teach them about Jesus. I have this opportunity, and I'm going to teach them. He knew his mission. He knew his main thing, if you will. His focus was to disciple them, be followers of Jesus. And so in verses 2 and 3, you see him coming into the synagogue. You see him there teaching and to help, help them to become followers of Jesus as well. And the scripture says some of them did. Okay, they end up following with him. In verse 7, there's that also the reference that he must have been teaching them certainly about what it meant to be kingdom people and a part of the kingdom of Christ, because the reference there is they understood him also as being king, if you will, in contrast to Caesar. So Paul comes into Thessalonica and he teaches them about Jesus. He's trying to disciple them to become followers of Christ. That's his agenda. That's his main thing. He understood his mission. Now, he probably taught some other things, but as far as we know, that was his focus. He understood what I would say the main thing. And they said that they turned the world upside down. Paul and the rest of the followers of Jesus, when they were teaching, when people looked at what they'd done, they referred to them as people who turned the world upside down. And when I read that, I thought of turtles. And this is the best turtle I can come up with. And I'm thankful for Hattie sharing her turtle with me. Okay? Well, I should have had it that way so it made more sense to you. But I thought of turtles being upside down. Now, some turtles actually have heads or necks and feet and legs long enough that they're able to flip themselves over. But there's other turtles that cannot flip themselves over. And if they're out in the sun, they will die in a few hours. Okay? They have a very short life if they're on their back. Hang with me. I like visual aids. They help stick with me. So hopefully they help stick with you as well. And so this is the best turtle I got, and we're going to go with him. But as I think about turtles and being stuck on their backs, I thought if that's what the world is like. The world is wrong side up. The world is wrong side up. Paul and his associates and all those followers of Jesus, they saw themselves as trying to address the main thing, which is people without Christ, who are not followers of Christ, their world is wrong side up. And they're trying to help them get their lives turned over. When we're left to ourselves, as just humans, we can make a mess out of our lives. When left to our own, we're upside down. Life isn't so good. We end up living according to our own priorities. We don't treat each other very well. We kind of create our own way of doing things, especially in our society today. There's no absolute truth in our world. Everyone creates their own truth, and we can't come alongside somebody and say, boy, your life doesn't look so good, because we're not supposed to tell anybody how they're supposed to live. There's no longer any sin that people are going to recognize in this world. And so we create our own truth for ourselves, and we can't tell anybody that they're wrong. And we're not willing to take responsibility for our choices. And so left to ourselves, our world is wrong side up. We think it's right. But the reality is there is truth. There is a right side. And it's so important for us to understand that there is, even though our world is all broken and messed up, there is truth. There is a right side up. And that we as followers of Jesus can be focused on all kinds of different things, but we need to make sure that we understand the importance of making sure that we communicate to others that there is a right side up, that their world does not have to be upside down and all messed up. And when we think about turning people's lives over, we're helping them get right side up. And this is our calling. That there's a whole lot of folks out here that may be a part of your life, in your family, in your workplace, that their worlds are wrong side up. And they need us to come alongside and help them get their world right side up. But that's our calling, that we need to understand that we're equipped for this. And for some of us, I'm afraid that we've bought into this worldview that says, well, I can't tell anybody that their life is all messed up. It's not my job. And we need to convince ourselves and to realize that we do have a message that gives people hope and purpose and can help make their lives right side up. That they don't have to live upside down and live with the messes that they're in. That we have a calling as we go around and helping make people disciples of Jesus, that we're going to help bring about a whole life, an abundant life. And maybe we don't realize the abundant life that we have and the message that we can give. And we need to be convinced of that message, and that their world needs us to come alongside them and flip them over. Figuratively. Okay? That we need to come alongside and help make their lives right. But it's only because of us coming alongside them and helping them see Jesus. And I'm convinced that that's what Paul and all those other followers of Jesus were doing in Thessalonica, is they were helping turn some lives over and to make a difference in their lives. And they're saying, boy, they're turning the world upside down. I'm convinced it wasn't a political message or anything else, but they were making a difference in the world in which they lived. And we saw that Paul's primary message was focusing on Jesus, so they could see Jesus and their lives could be right side up. And we've got to be careful we need to watch out for those distractions that can take us off track. Obviously, that store owner in England, he was off track. He missed the whole purpose of what it meant to be a grocery store owner. But we can do the same thing, and we've got to be careful that we don't get ourselves involved in things that takes us off track. And what's happening here on Sunday morning, we have made Sunday morning such an important part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And don't get me wrong, I'm really glad that you're here, and I'm glad to be part of this congregation, but sometimes we make Sunday mornings more than it should be. You know, you're probably going to forget this sermon. You might even forget it before you get home. And that's kind of stinks. But the truth is we've said Sunday morning is so, so important, and the sermon time is so, so important, but there's been very few people that their lives have been changed because of a sermon on Sunday morning. More lives have been changed because you have invested in somebody, and somebody has touched your life. Maybe in a small group study, you've been a part of something to help change your life. But very few people, I'm not going to have you show your hands because I don't want that to happen, but very few of you have had your lives just really turned around, made up right side up because somebody preaching a sermon on Sunday morning. It's more because somebody has been involved in your life and helped shape you and transform you and help you see Jesus, much like what Paul was doing in Thessalonica. And yes, we're doing all kinds of great things here, I think, as a congregation. I'm really thankful when people ask me how things are going in Newburgh. I'm saying, man, I think we're doing some great stuff here, and I think we're really healthy, and we're touching the community. But we've got to be careful with that as well. We can be so involved in good works that we lose sight of the main thing. It can't be just about doing the good works, but people need to see Jesus as well. I'm not saying stop doing the good works, but we've got to understand that sometimes they can distract us from the main thing. So it's important that we take that into consideration. And sometimes we even remove the main thing off of your plates. for some, they say, well, you know, that's why we hired Kyle and Sean. That's their job. Or that's why we have the Rockwells involved in discipling. They're the ones that are supposed to be doing the discipling. They're the ones that are supposed to be taking care of the main thing. And so we take it off of everybody's plates, and that it's supposed to be on all our plates. And sometimes we even do ourselves a disservice trying to be followers of Jesus and being discipling when we just take it off everybody's plate. So we can be distracted and we can divert ourselves from the main thing. So we need to be reminded that we all are part of taking care of the main thing. Elise, several years ago, while she was in school, began developing a friendship with Jazzy. And that friendship, you know, started kind of trickling into bringing a couple of families together, just because of schoolmates and so on. Ben started teaching basketball, and so both Jazzy and Elise were part of the basketball team. And that also created further connections between their two families with the Folkerts. And, you know, that was a good opportunity because that friendship developing, Elise was started inviting Jazzy and the rest of the family to come to church for different church activities. And side note, Randy says, that's so important that you guys have activities at church that people can invite others to. So whenever we do these other activities, they help create opportunities for people to invite others to. Hint, hint. And so Randy's saying, because of all the things that are going on in our congregation, we were able to invite the kids to these different functions, and it was great. So the kids came for quite a while, and they came to VBS and different youth activities and so on. Well, eventually Andrea decided to come to church. You know, Randy had been inviting and so on. And because of that connection and so on, Andre was baptized, and Jack was baptized, and Gavin was baptized, and they've been encouraged to grow in Jesus, become followers of him, to be discipled. Because someone understood the main thing. Randy's really glad that she's down teaching the kids this morning because she didn't want to hear this. But we need to understand that we're supposed to all be a part of this main thing, understanding our mission, our call, our commission, to be helping people see Jesus, to become followers of him. That's our mission. That's our calling, to help get lives right side up. C.S. Lewis says this, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs." You're little Christs. If they're not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. That's a bold statement. God became man for no other reason. And Jesus made that really clear, didn't he? I came to seek and save the lost. It is even doubtful, you know, whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. To help us be followers of Christ. Because that's where our hope is. And that's where our lives ought to be centered. May the Lord find us as individuals and as a congregation busy about the main thing. May the Lord find us focused on our mission and not being distracted and helping others become followers of Christ. My charge this morning comes in the form of some questions for you to ponder. Where would you be if someone had not turned your world right side up? Where would you be if someone hadn't seen your life and your need and come alongside you and flipped you over? Where would you be? And are we making the main thing the main thing. That certainly is a congregational thing that we need to think about. Are we focused on the things that we're supposed to be focused upon? I appreciate Jeff's prayer for the elders to have wisdom as they think about our resources, but also we need to think about, you know, are we focused on the things we're supposed to be focused upon? And maybe there's some things we need to cut out. Maybe some things in your life that are keeping you from being a disciple maker, making the main thing the main thing. And finally, this question. Are we, you, turning the world upside down? If someone's to write about this congregation, if someone's to write about your life, would they say, oh man, so-and-so has just turned the world upside down, flipping lives over. That church, man, they're doing some great things, but they're helping people see Jesus. They're flipping their lives over. Would they people write about us from that perspective? Again, may the Lord bless us as we think about, you know, are we making the main thing the main thing? Are we about the business, the mission that he's given us? Might be somebody here this morning whose life is upside down, wrong side up, however you want to put it, and you need us to pray for you. Well, we're here to come alongside you and to pray for you. If you want to make it public, we set aside this time to do so. Maybe spiritually, your life is upside down, and you want to make yourself right with Christ. I'll be here afterwards. I'd be happy to study with you and to help you figure out what that looks like and what it takes to get one's life right side up. If there's any way we can bless you this morning, you can share it now as we stand and sing.